Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. Got my brother, Dr. Carl Nadolski, with me. You know what? Today is going to be fun because we are going to talk about how he and I went vegan. Now, apparently it was 8 years ago. We went vegan for about a month. Wanted to give our experiences, look at our blood lipids, and, kind of see what it was like practically. And it's thundering out here right now, and I hope it's not coming through on the podcast.
It's all right.
I feel like there...
It's all right. It's like, might cool, be a, it's like cool background noise once in a while.
All right. People can maybe use this to go night-night. Anyway, so our friend Garth Davis... So back in 2014, Garth, we're really good friends with him now, but...
And he's a great bariatric surgeon, by the way.
Great bariatric surgeon. Yes, we're going to have him on very shortly. I texted him this morning because I wanted him to join me. He was busy. He's cutting people up. I don't know what he's doing. But we'd get in these like little internet battles together because he's a staunch vegan guy, and
is he vegan or is he vegetarian? Because that's another thing.
Vegan.
We do need to make sure people know the difference. You know, the spectrum of intensity of these plant based diets before we even say what we did. But we went vegan.
He's vegan, but also people will say like, whoa, you got to differentiate between the ethical, the ethical portion of it, which
and
is
he's
different
got both.
Than straight up. Yeah. The dietary pattern. He's both, vegan, he's ethically and dietary pattern, and he staunchly. He's kind of he'll when you talk to him he'll be like probably eating fish is okay. So, but he and I would battle back and forth, and Mark Shields, our buddy, kind of a troll online, would give him crap on Facebook.
Mark Shields is gonna love that he just got called out. By the way. He's going to love that. Yeah. Hopefully he listens.
We messaged him and said, hey, we're going to go vegan. So, if we're going to do this, can you help us develop a meal plan to where, we're doing this kind of
Give
legit.
Us some guidance.
We don't want to do
And to be clear, though, for everyone, we are historically meatheads to some degree. I mean, we don't think we should eat... high fat animal meats and things that are sort of obviously bad
processed meats.
But
we're not going to suck down huge sausages.
Right. From a quality protein, animal protein perspective, from a pure health perspective, and we can talk about the different aspects of plant based diets. But we have never even been close to being at all vegetarian, let alone vegan. And that's why I think we do have to kind of make sure people know. The basic terms, because vegan is a pretty extreme branch of this, of vegetarianism, in my opinion, because it's no animal products, nothing, zero.
Yeah, so 100% plant based, and this is what makes it funny. So we do this, and we'll describe kind of what we did, and we go to our mom's, and. She knows we're doing this. She knows we do all these little experiments, and she goes, "Okay, honey."
And our mom was a character, by the way, but a very real fun character. So people need to anybody who knows her will love the story.
Yeah. So I go over to her apartment, and I say, "Mom, we're doing this." She's like, "Okay, great. I'll go get some food for you guys. Can I make you an egg burrito?" I go, "No, Mom." No, we can't have eggs because that's animal.
That would,
and she goes, "Okay,
that would be lacto ovo vegetarian."
So I go, "Okay." She goes, and then she says something like, "Well, can I make you just a bean and cheese burrito?" I go, "No, Mom, no, the cheese is from an animal. You can't have it." And she just goes, "God, you guys are such assholes. And I just, we could not stop laughing because she was like, you guys are such assholes because, like, I'm trying to help you out here. This whole experiment doesn't make sense. And I'm trying to give you guys, like, what, you're not eating eggs now? And now you're not eating cheese? She was a very real person. She couldn't figure it out. She was like, this sounds crazy to me.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do this. Yeah. And of course, you know,
and we're not making fun of you, but it's to the majority of people who are just trying to be healthier and eat well, that this is a very extreme road to take, to go vegan. But we decided to, we were going to do it extreme because we wanted to.
I'm going straight up vegan, and I'm not. Yes, and we're not going to do the junk food vegan, although I have a good story to tell you about junk food and vegan junk food towards the end here. But we want to do it. So lots of we wanted to make sure we were getting enough calories, number one. We didn't want to use this to lose weight. We wanted to make sure we were getting enough protein to keep our muscle. And, you know, most of the vegans or plant-based people will say, hey, you can get plenty of protein while being plant-based. It's hard when you're not supplementing protein powder.
But they do. And to be fair to more very plant-based vegetarian people, you absolutely can get the right nutrients. But it is harder when you're vegan,
We're going to probably get Stuart Phillips. I think we should get Stuart Phillips on here talking about the minimal amounts of protein we need because basically just for everybody listening, everybody recommending 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight or even anything near that is probably completely unnecessary for 99.99% of the population.
Well,
so
especially those who are listening to this, our patients, it's a different situation, different thing.
The biggest effect comes from lifting weights, period. Then you get a minimal amount of protein, you're fine. So, but I wanted to kind of split the difference, not go to the complete minimum amount of protein and not this huge amount that I would normally, not huge, but a larger amount that I would get with an animal-based a more animal-inclusive diet. Yeah. So we basically, for breakfast, I would have huge bowl of oats with some almonds in there and along with oat milk or almond milk, I believe it was. And the almond milk, I think, was fortified a little bit with protein, with pea and rice protein, I believe.
Oh, really? See, I didn't.
So I did. It was slightly fortified. Well, it doesn't matter because your myostatin gene is turned off. You can afford to.
People aren't going to understand that joke, by the way. But
no, some people will. Myostatin is a governor for muscle.
The other thing, though, so. So our background, while we ate a lot of, and we eat a lot of what we consider to be pretty healthy animal products, low fat, ranging from beef to pork to poultry, lots of fish. But we also eat a lot of healthy plant-based foods, and that includes nuts and seeds and beans, legumes, oats, these other things that do have a lot of the good plant-based proteins. So we were already, we at least like that stuff, and we eat a lot of that stuff because those are maybe the most definitively healthy parts of a plant-based diet anyway. So we were able to load up on that stuff.
Yeah, so basically maximize those things. So lentils, I ate a ton of garbanzo beans. In a lot of the meals that I would eat, stir-fry meals, I would just swap out the chicken that I'd usually put in, and I'd put in garbanzo beans.
Yeah.
Sure, it was lower in protein, but, my wife had to wear a gas mask from time to time for all the gas that I'd have from the
she always has to wear a gas mask. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was slightly, but the frequency and volume.
The volume, the volume of your flatulence went frequency went, and went, volume. Was horrible. It's always stank, but
I'd always blame the cat, and she'd always go. Well, then he must have just flown across the room. She's just like, Newman just flew across the room then.
Okay. Oh my God. We just lost half of our listeners. Okay.
Garbanzo beans. Garbanzo beans. And then I eat a lot of lentil soup. Everybody already knows that already. So what I do right now is I actually, because of that experiment, I'm able to do more plant-based meals. And then of course we'd add in the tofu and I can't do tofu.
I had to just eat really beans and I don't like tofu.
I don't think you must not have had it. You got to have it textured. Like you have to cook it properly so it has the right texture.
Sorry, Garth. I can't do tofu, but. You know what I love, I get all my patients to do this, and I still do this. You talk about still doing it? The chickpea pasta, the garbanzo bean chickpea pasta. God, I love those.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that all the time still. I'll do kind of a meatless Monday night, even though I probably ate some sort of animal protein earlier in the day. And I'll do do the chickpea pasta with pesto. So it's olive oil and seeds, you know, and that sort of thing. Sometimes I do put cheese on it, though. So it's lacto vegetarian.
This company Zenbe. I don't know if you've seen. Somebody might have seen this company Zenbe, Zenb. I don't make any money from them yet. I don't know. Maybe they'll give me a sponsorship. Maybe they'll sponsor this podcast. I'm not sure. Probably not. They make these yellow pea noodles because I'd get those chickpea noodles and they have like a little bit of like a spicy aftertaste, but these yellow pea noodles. That they make the texture is a little bit better. Anyway, I started ordering them, and they're getting so good at making these pastas to where it's like, hey, you should probably be swapping out your regular pasta for these. Super high in fiber, good
protein, yeah,
very filling,
yeah, and a lot lower in the overall carb load. You know, for our patients especially, we have so many with type 2 diabetes, and this is a way it reduces that carb load, you know, so they don't get the glycemic spikes afterwards. And generally, it's going to ultimately lead to a reduced energy intake in treating their obesity and everything else. So,
yeah, better lipids and everything. So what happened? Well, we watched our body fat composition. It didn't change. We tried to be isocaloric.
Although we measured everything. You know, this goes back to the complexities of adiposity and energy balance and how we can get away with it. We have a little bit more metabolic flexibility. I didn't count anything. I've always just been what we call ad libitum. I just changed the types of foods I ate, and I didn't watch my macronutrients or anything like that. I still never do that. And our body composition stayed exactly the same. That goes to saying how, we can get away with some of this a little bit better than, easier than other people who have a little bit more of the, some of that pathophysiology underneath. So just to be fair to those listening.
Yeah, I believe I tried to make it as isocaloric as possible. Because I was worried. I can lose weight very easily because I'm kind of a thinner person. But anyway, strength numbers, performance numbers, they didn't really change. Now, again, this was only a month-long experiment. So, take for that what you will. But the biggest difference was, for me, was the lipids. Usually I have an LDL cholesterol of around 100. It gets up to sometimes if I'm eating a little too many tacos and shawarma, it gets up to about 120. Yeah,
so you eat too much restaurant food. That's your problem. You go out.
No, I make it. I have to make it now. There's no restaurants around here. There are no restaurants around here. I'm in this
it's just crappy
area. But anyway.
Usually you go out to eat too much. That's fine.
What are you going to do when you have tacos and shawarma surrounding
you? We make our own tacos and shawarma. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, your tacos sucked.
Hey, my 10-year-old eats the crap out of me. He gets about 250 grams of protein from just low fat ground beef in his tacos.
Don't get me wrong, I'll eat a good ground beef taco, but I like the street tacos anyway.
All right,
lipids. My LDL cholesterol got down to about 80 when doing this, so I believe it dropped around 40 milligrams per deciliter. And no, I've checked my genetics before. I have no predisposition to, holy cow, it just really thundered outside.
Yeah, I hear it.
I don't have any predisposition. I have no predisposition to hypercholesterolemia. I've got extensive things. So from a dietary standpoint, if you have no predisposition genetically, we'll have a whole lecture on lipids and everything like that. But going plant-based, if you're kind of at higher risk, if you go completely plant-based, and I don't think you have to necessarily go 100%, but if you want to see if you have an effect, you go 100% plant-based and not junk food plant-based, which I'll get into in a second, going to this whole food plant-based diet. And that's people usually, this is where people say, no, you got to say it's whole food plant-based and not vegan, because vegan has that ethical component. It's not just a dietary component. Right. You're not supposed to drive with leather, have leather shoes and all sorts of stuff. It's not just diet.
Yeah, but you can't even eat honey because of the bees. If you're truly, truly vegan.
Yeah, some people get really, actually, there have been arguments about that. I don't know. That seems...
but again, that's a spiritual thing. That is slightly different than shifting your diet more plant-based. And what most of these people do, you know, the other good thing when you talk about a whole food plant-based diet, it's really the whole food aspect. Cutting down on refined processed foods, shifting it to be more whole food. That doesn't have to be, you know, vegetarian even. That can be flexitarian, meaning maybe less animal product, but more plants, more whole vegetables, fruits, beans, legumes, nuts, seeds. That's the common component of all good dietary patterns that have been shown in studies. So you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's where probably what a lot of these people get in these arguments. You see these carnivores, and then when I say carnivore, they literally just eat meat.
They're the opposite.
Nothing else.
They're the opposite of vegan.
They're no vegetables. And no vegetables.
They think that's the better way to go. And then the strict vegetarians think that's the way to go. So we're very much middle of the road, and we just try to stick with the evidence and personalized therapy. But when you experiment like this,
those two people do, they both cut out
exactly
highly processed, ultra processed foods.
They just went to other even the both carnivore, sides of the extreme.
Mm-hmm. We'll have a whole lecture, a podcast on just this movement of carnivores. But you know, if the carnivores do it, they freaking lose weight.
Yeah, because they're not getting any. They're
improve their cardiometabolic measure. Other than maybe
their energy
LDL
intake.
Yeah. Maybe
it. Well, and that depends on how they do it.
Yeah,
they could go low fat, lean protein. I just feel
lower
like then
fat.
Then you need to get you have to get some other. Anyways, yeah, it's just a very extreme.
Whatever.
Both are extreme.
So anyway, so the idea: if you have high cholesterol, high lipids. Whole food plant-based with legumes, oats, you know, apples, almonds, that type of thing. That's going to be the thing. You have no dietary cholesterol. Unless you're eating coconut oil, which is technically vegan or plant-based. I would not eat tropical oils, but if you go mostly just non-tropical oil, vegan or plant-based, you're going to see the most pronounced effect in your lipids if it can happen. Otherwise, it's probably genetics. But here's what happened. I was towards the end of the month, I was getting sick of the diet.
Well, yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I craved cheese. Yeah. I craved cheese the most.
Yeah. We eat a lot of cheese.
You know, people.
Well, because we eat a lot of cheese. We're cheese based.
I like cheese.
At least I am.
Cheese more than meat.
Yeah. I like cheese.
I like cheese more than meat, I think. Yeah. I like meat, but I think I like cheese more. You know, Garth will argue it's because the cheese hits the mu receptor, the opioid receptors differently, whatever.
But it doesn't
matter. I don't know.
I don't know about that. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Cheese tastes
it's
good.
Clinically irrelevant.
Whatever.
Garth.
So I decided to buy one of these packaged boxes of vegan mac and cheese. And I was like, okay, it's from the store, it's packaged up, and they're selling it, and I thought people would be buying this, so it's got to taste pretty good, right? Otherwise, nobody would buy it. So I start boiling the water, and my wife's, like, sick at this moment, but I'm, like, in the kitchen cooking. I was a first year out of residency in private practice. And I think she was still in training, but she was not feeling well at the moment. She's in the bedroom. I'm out in the kitchen cooking. So I start boiling the water, put the noodles in the boiling water. Then I have to make the special, the cheese is the way that you made it is a little bit different. You have to put a little bit of oil in it first, and then you got to mix it up and whatever. So I open the packet of cheese, this cheese mix. I don't know what the heck's in this thing. And start putting it into the oil to stir up, and it smelled like vomit.
Ugh, God.
And I was like, okay, well, I know that smell and taste are closely related, but I'm like, I know it smells like this, but I assume that when I mix it all together, it's not, it has to change. Otherwise, how would this company sell this? Nobody would ever buy this stuff if it smelled, tasted like vomit. There's just no way. So I'm like, I'm hoping it eventually gets better. So finally I start mixing it all together and I hear in the back room, my wife's like, "What the hell are you cooking?" And then I hear her start throwing up.
God. Oh God. I hope Jenna doesn't listen to this. She thinks we're idiots.
She's like, "What are you cooking? You son of a bitch." "What are you cooking, you idiot?" And I'm like, "I'm making a vegan mac and cheese." And then I hear it like hurling back there. And I'm like, "Just okay, let me take." So I get the thing together. I put it in my bowl and I'm like smelling it. I'm like, "Oh my God, this is horrible." And I take a bite and it tasted just like vomit. God. I had to run and I start vomiting.
This is horrible. All right, God.
It was, oh my all God. Right.
That's enough of that.
It was so bad. I'm like, I don't know how this company ever sold any. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Hopefully they don't.
Anyway, I told that story. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but so I posted this story on Instagram a few years ago. And so many vegans, they were so, so mad at me. They're like, "That didn't happen." I'm like, "Swear to God, I can't make this up." It tasted so bad.
Yeah.
It literally tasted like vomit. It was like this acidic, I don't know how, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then actually Danielle Bilardo, who we can have on the podcast or something. She's a vegan cardiologist. Anyway, she was like, "Can somebody help my friend here make a good vegan mac and cheese?" And so someone came up with a recipe, and I can't remember exactly how I made it, but it was actually pretty good. But I had to actually make it myself.
Right, but okay. So hold on, though. But
don't buy any store bought. Don't get any store bought, and don't do the junk food mac and cheese thing. Don't get junk food if you're doing the whole food plant based. That's the key.
And the other thing, though, for most people, I would love to know how many people listening to this podcast are or want to be vegan. And again, vegan excludes all animal products. So, you know, you can be a flexitarian, be a little bit more plant-based, cut down a little bit on animal products, but still include them and, you know, and still be, you know, whole food sort of plant-based. Can include, you know, quality sources of dairy, like we were just talking about. So for your mac and cheese, I would never tell anybody to do that anyways, unless they truly, spiritually, again, this is different for health. If they spiritually want to be vegan, fine, we'll help them do it. But otherwise, get some low-fat mozzarella or some other low-fat cheese and put it on your chickpea pasta. I do that all the time. And so I'm getting some extra protein from the low-fat cheese, which, you know, if we want to talk about the health benefits, you know, there are a lot of data to support the benefits of quality dairy products, not high sugar, you could just high get fat like stuff.
Bonza.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but they have their own little powder. I know, they have their own little powder, and you just put a little skim milk in it.
Yeah, but why get in the powder? No, use some real cheese.
Because that one actually does taste good.
Okay, there you go. But is that I have no like idea. But that's not vegan necessarily. I think that's probably real cheese, isn't it? I don't know. But anyways, don't, you know, if you want to include cheese, if you have specific issues, make sure you talk to your physicians. But for the most part, for most people, healthy diets certainly can include some, cheese. And in fact, most people probably have more benefit than any harm that comes from cheese. So make some darn macaroni cheese with you.
My favorite cheese, and I know your favorite cheese, is this Cabot extra sharp.
Yeah, they don't have it around 75%
lean.
Yeah, it's all protein.
They didn't have it in San Diego. Oh, really? They had it in Maryland, and I always ate it. And then I moved to San Diego. And that's why my lipids, the lipids went up. It wasn't the tacos or shawarma. It was because I didn't have my Cabot 75% lean cheese. But this is this cheese, it's 75% lean, like it's low fat. But usually they like it seems like it's made out of plastic if it's low fat, like no fat cheese. This they somehow made it this one taste good. I used to make fun of it.
Do you remember like, you used to make fun of me for eating low fat cheese? Just because you were mad that I was more ripped. No, you were mad that I was more ripped.
Yeah, but you've always been more ripped.
I've always liked low-fat cheese.
You came out of the womb. Yeah. You came out of the womb ripped.
That's why I say for people listening, we have different metabolic flexibility, and everyone's different, so we can get away with some of these things a little bit more. But
yeah, apparently I can't get away with it much as you.
No, you can't. But, you know, also, but hey, but let's talk about fit, you know, so also people, you know, I don't think people should be scared away from eating animal proteins. I really don't. I think there's much more important things when we shift individual diets to be more whole food plant-based. They're much lower hanging fruit, if you will. The studies looking at, you know, we push a more Mediterranean pattern because that's the high vegetable, high fiber, bean, legume dietary patterns with nuts and seeds, olive oil, all that stuff. Even when those studies include low fat, lean red meat, the lipids and the glycemia, the sugars, the blood pressure, all those things are just as good or if not better, even including some lean red meat, despite some of these little nuances that people are concerned about.
It depends on what you replace it with, though. Because if you replace red meat with tofu, then your lipids would improve a little bit more. But again,
probably. But that's not usually the problem in people's diets.
Right. Right.
They're eating burgers and fries, your lipids are going to be. Yeah. And sugary drinks, restaurant food. Yeah, and the energy intake. And so, anyways. That's my moral of the story. And by the way, don't forget, we do have our old website, doxulift.com, and it's like the fourth or fifth story down about when we go vegan. So we have our whole description of it on there. So for people who want to read a little bit more about it, I can't believe it's from 2014, but we talk about an example of our daily meals, including the steel cut oats and the, you know, lots of nut butters, almond butter and fruit. Nuts and seeds, that sort of thing. My lipids didn't change really.
Check it out.
My non-HDL, stayed under 100 milligrams per deciliter or so. It was pretty good back then. I also think I was in a little bit better physical shape.
You're just old now.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. All right.
Holy cow. Anyway. But anyways. All right.
Yeah. Take home points. Before you'd say, plant-based whole food dietary patterns are healthy, but you don't have to go to the extreme of veganism. But spiritually,
for most people,
it's an option, and make sure you do it under the guise of, you know, medical care. I think that's kind of the take home point. What else? Good?
Yeah, all right. I think that's fine. and you can, if you want to test this out, all it takes is a week or two, and your lipids will change within those. And you'll see a difference.
Yeah,
you don't have to do a whole month of it. Actually, just 2 weeks, and you'll retest your lipids if you want to see a difference. Whatever.
Check out our Doxulift podcast. Like this podcast.
Subscribe. Give it a review. 5 stars, please.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.